Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. We're rocking and rolling here with our good friend Pete Sepp. I'm Jim Blasingame, and spinning a few platters for you. A little bit of business information, especially for your small business. My small business, my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. And that's what we are here, all about small business. And I hope you check out my website and use it to your advantage. We built it so you can have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Lots of stuff there you can read, listen, ask questions. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, my blog. You can find my blog right there. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. By the way, my blog post, the recent one, is about how I define the shape of this recovery. And I use a different letter than you hear anybody else, than you've heard anybody else use, which you're not. I know you're not surprised that I would do something different from everybody else. Pete Sepp is with us. He's Executive Vice President for the National Taxpayers Union. And he's one of our tax experts, tax policy experts especially. And Pete, last thoughts on Tax Freedom Day.
Well, just picking up on what we were talking about right before the break, future Tax Freedom Days are going to get a lot worse, and they're going to get a lot worse a lot faster than we think, because, number one, we've got the expiration of the 2001 and 2003 tax cuts on the federal level.
At the end of this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
And any prediction? I mean, are you rolling over? You're saying we're not going to keep those.
We're going to do our best to try and keep as much of them as we can. But I can tell you this: the prognostication is, at the very least, for example, the tax rate on capital gains is going to go from 15% to almost 24%.
Wow!
Because the Obama administration is saying, okay, believe our promises, we're never going to let the rate go higher than 20% for anyone. All right, you take that at face value. They've already broken a lot of promises on taxes, but okay, let's take them at that. The problem is the health care bill has a 3.8% surtax on investment income built into it. So you start doing the addition, 20% plus 3.8, that's 24% minimum. Without Congress even getting its hands on the tax system again. If Congress gets into the act, we could see rates as high as 40%.
Wow.
And then...
Under the current Congress.
Yes.
But if and of course, even if there is a change in regime, change in majority leadership in November at the elections, that Congress doesn't take effect until January, which is after these other tax cuts would have expired.
Yeah. And of course, we're used to retroactive tax policy. That's happened in the past. But even if there is a regime change, as we've been talking about, there's going to be a lot of confusion for tax planning purposes in those intervening months, no matter who's in charge, actually.
There's still a lot of... that's all we've had, Pete, is confusion.
Yeah.
I mean, they let the R&D credit expire.
Yes.
Which is not good for small business, because we create over half of all innovations in America. We still don't know about... there's so many things that we don't know about how to plan for taxes. And that's a really important part of a lot of businesses' strategy is knowing how to use their capital, and when to invest, and how much to invest, and is there going to be any kind of help from tax deductions, that kind of thing. I mean, without having anything, with so much being up in the air, it's hard to make a decision, and then politicians wonder why the economy isn't coming back quicker.
Yeah, and
Without any sense of irony or shame.
That's right. And you start adding on state and local tax burdens, too. The stimulus money that Washington, D.C. sent to the states is going to run out in a year, or maybe even less than a year now. And so states and localities are going to start increasing their own taxes,
yeah,
property taxes especially. So we can look for Tax Freedom Day to go at least a week, probably 2 weeks later than it is currently in a very, very short period of time.
Right.
So a lot of worries there.
What are some other things that you're seeing out there?
Well, incredibly, the big bad cap and trade scheme is coming back.
Is that raising its ugly head again?
Yes, it is. And it's, of course, being proposed in various forms, but now all the eyes are on the Senate. You've got...
It's already passed. The bill has already passed the House, hasn't it?
Yes, yes. And, of course, the bill in its form in the House could not get past the Senate right now. There would have to be significant changes. And so what the senators are doing who support this, John Kerry, Joe Lieberman, Lindsey Graham...
A Republican,
are saying, well, how can we do something like cap and trade without calling it that and give senators political cover to vote for it? And one of the things they're proposing is, okay, we're going to impose a bunch of renewable electricity standards on businesses. Mm. So they're going to have to buy their electricity from expensive sources.
What's wrong with these people, Pete? What part of this is not helping the economy recover do they not get?
Yeah, I don't realize.
I mean, what ballgame are they watching, Pete?
I often wonder what they're doing because, obviously, this is an expensive input for any business, energy, and just about every business needs energy. I don't know of any that operate in a cave by torchlight. So.
And, Pete, I've got to wrap it up for this segment. We've got to go to a break quickly, but here's the thing. Here's how all this manifests now. We don't know what this cap and trade bill is going to be. Most small business owners don't know what the health care bill is going to be for them. But what they do know is that there's a lot that they don't know. And that makes them uncertain. That makes them a little bit afraid. And it does not make them want to hire more people. And that, Mr. President Obama and Lindsey Graham, is why the economy is still slow.
Are you reeling in the year?
Welcome back. It's 7 till the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. Pete Sepp is our guest. Pete is Executive Vice President with the National Taxpayers Union. Pete, tell us about NTU.
We're a nonprofit, nonpartisan citizen group founded over 40 years ago to work for lower taxes and smaller government at all levels. We've had some successes, but obviously we got a long way to go, and we need people's help.
Yeah, I know you do, and they can tell the audience how they can do that.
They can visit us online at ntu.org, sign up for our email alerts, sign up for our text messaging alerts so you can call your members of Congress and your state lawmakers in near real time on issues that are occurring right then and there.
That they're voting on that day.
That's right.
Yeah, folks, check them out, ntu.org. It's an organization that I believe in, that I've been telling you about since I started broadcasting my show the very first year. And so I hope you check it out, ntu.org, and support them to the degree that you can. If you've heard me talk in the past about how you can make a difference and still make payroll, still keep working on your business, the way you do that is you give a little bit of support to organizations like the NTU and others that you've heard me talk about. They're up there in Washington. They're at the table. They're banging on the doors and telling these guys and gals up there in Congress, you know, what they think. And so find the organizations that say what you think, that believe what you think, and join them, support them. And that way you can run your business, but have some influence. And I encourage you to do that. And NTU is one of those, National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org. Pete, wrap it up for us. You know, you were talking about cap and trade. People think of cap and trade. They don't think of tax necessarily, do they?
No, they don't, and they really have to, because I call it really a form of value-added tax. And
yeah.
Another thing in the news right now, we may be getting a European-style sales tax, basically, on top of everything we already pay. But cap and trade works just like that, because what it does is impose a government burden on each stage of production of a good or service, because energy goes into every stage of production of a good or service. It adds value to everything we do. And if you restrict the flow of energy from inexpensive sources, if you require energy to be bought from costlier methods of production,
right.
Or if you say, okay, you can only use so much energy from fossil fuels, and if you want to use more, you're going to have to pay double for it, well, all of those things are going to affect the cost of the good or the service.
And this is going to affect the American way of life, Pete,
yeah.
if it passes. And here's why. I talked to someone in Washington. I was in Washington at a conference a few weeks ago. And this person was talking about how much smaller the footprint of a European family is, the carbon footprint, than Americans' carbon footprint. And I said, that's because Europeans live in 800-square-foot apartments. And I was being a little facetious, folks. We were just making points to each other. And he said, yes, but that's the way Americans are going to have to go.
Yeah.
Now, in other words, in his mind, he was English. In his mind, Americans need to become more like Europeans. And I'll tell you what, that's not going to sit very well with America's folks. The problem is, Pete, the problem is the average American doesn't understand what an assault this is going to be on our way of life.
That's true. And
they hear cap and trade, it doesn't mean anything. But folks, when you think of cap, think of capping your way of life. That's what you should be thinking about.
That's absolutely the case. That fellow was being totally truthful, because that's really the only way that we can ultimately reduce our so-called carbon footprint significantly. It means giving up a lot of the things we're accustomed to,
yeah.
Or spending a whole lot of money we don't have to suddenly improve our energy production from non-fossil sources. That's going to happen over time, but if government forces it, that means much, much higher costs in the near term.
See, this is what upsets me. This is a point that I made in that conference. American businesses are not being given credit for the efficiencies they've acquired over the last 25 or 30 years, and they're using a stick instead of a carrot to encourage us to become more efficient. We should be encouraging what's already been done. We should be celebrating what's been accomplished and encouraging more of that instead of trying to penalize people.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we've done an excellent job in improving energy efficiency, and
yeah.
You're right. Yeah, not
we've,
enough
we've
credit.
Come a lot. American businesses have come a long way to becoming more efficient. We got a long way to go, but we've come a long way. Hey, Pete, give us the website one more time, please.
That's ntu.org.
Will you come back another day real soon?
You bet.
Thanks a lot, Pete, for being here. Pete Sepp, ladies and gentlemen, Executive Vice President for National Taxpayers Union. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Welcome to the Small Business Advocate Show, brought to you by FedEx for your small business needs. Administaff. Administaff is good for small business. And Palo Alto Software, makers of Business Plan Pro. And now, the man who creates more multimedia information than any other human on the planet.
With classified information like this, I demand the cone of silence.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Hello, America, and good day to our friends around the world. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. Wherever you are, however you're listening, whenever you're listening, radio, internet, subspace frequency, waiting on the mothership to beam you back, whatever it takes, we're glad you're doing that. And I think you're going to be glad you're doing it, too, because we've got a couple of outstanding individuals lined up in the hour straight ahead. Martin Zwilling is a new friend. He's a new guest. And fresh meat, as we sometimes call our guests around here. He is the founder and CEO of Startup Professionals. And one of the things he and I have in common is we're both contributors to Forbes.com. And so he's has an article there recently on business planning. And he and I are going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some business planning ingredients for the 21st century as you move forward, as we go forward and out of the recession into the recovery and moving forward into an expansion. What does your business plan need to look like? And so we're going to be talking about that with our new friend Martin Zwilling. And then in the second half of the hour, our the resident futurist of the Brain Trust, Joel Barker, is going to be back with us. You know, Joel is somebody that I admired for years before I met him. I was a disciple of his for a long time before I met him. I was telling you about him years before we actually were able to connect with him and get him to join us and frankly get him to fall in love with us. And he comes back. He's back on the show every month or so to talk to us about what's coming at us from the future. What would you say if I told you that he's going to talk about how slow thinking actually increases creativity? How about that? That's kind of weird, isn't it? Well, that's one of the things he's going to talk to us about in the second half of the hour. It's almost 9 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. I promise I'll be right back.
Hey, Richard, ready for the big presentation?
Yes, I am.
He's all ready. His middle name is Eddie. And he's as ready will ever be.
I didn't know your middle name was Eddie. I couldn't help but notice you have a Broadway chorus with you.
Well, I wanted to make a big impression for the presentation.
Big, 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 big. He's making it big, incredibly big. Yeah.
Well, if you really wanted to impress, you could have gone to FedEx Office. They'd help you print, copy, and finish your presentation.
FedEx Office. Is there one nearby?
Is it far?
Very far. Can we get there by car?
We could get lost.
Or bitten by frost.
Or maybe eaten by a jaguar.
Roar. That's not annoying at all. Actually, there are nearly 1,700 FedEx Office locations. I use the one around the corner.
Hey, isn't there one around the corner?
Yes, I just said they
help. You really should have known about FedEx Office. Not a lot of words rhyme with FedEx Office.
We understand. You want support close by. FedEx Office has nearly 1,700 convenient locations.
Hi, Jim Blasingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
They say the third time's a charm, and for my business, it's definitely true with Administaff. I'm Lynn Meyer, president of IntegriView in Austin, Texas, and I became an Administaff client. for the third time in 2009. As an independent reviewer for clinical research, IntegriView knows that personal attention to detail is critical to success. So when other companies said they offered the same personalized service as Administaff, only cheaper, we got wooed away twice, and we came back twice. When we were working to revamp employee communications, only Administaff took the time to sit and talk with every single employee one by one. It made a huge difference in morale and productivity for our business, and now we're here to stay.
IntegriView is just one of many recent Administaff success stories. Let's get started on yours. Call us at 877-273-6007 or download the top 10 HR strategies to lead the recovery at Administaff.com.
Welcome back. 12 after. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blassingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Martin Zwilling is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Martin is a new friend, and he's the founder and CEO of Startup Professionals, which is an organization that provides products and services to startups and small business owners just like you, just like me. He is a contributor to Forbes.com, and as am I. You might see both of our names and perhaps faces on their website at the same time sometimes, and certainly today that's going to happen because of our distribution partnership with Forbes. You'll see Martin there on my feature, on my resource there at Forbes.com, and he's written an article recently about business planning. I wanted to get his thoughts on that. Martin Zwilling, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Jim, and I'm a pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you here, Martin. My audience knows that there are a few topics on small business that you can bring up that we have talked about more than business planning. In fact, there may not be a topic that we've talked about more than business planning. And I think it's a very important topic, obviously, or we wouldn't have covered it that much. Anytime we can get new ideas, fresh thoughts on business planning, I like to make my audience, make it available to my audience. And your recent article I consider to qualify that way. And so we congratulate you on that. And I want to get you to talk to us a little bit about what you're thinking about 21st century business planning. Is different from 20th century planning, isn't it?
I think so, definitely. And, first of all, let me say that I believe a business plan is important to an entrepreneur, whether he's looking for funding or whether he's trying to fund the business himself. It's important to him.
Operating the business is essential, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. A lot of people come to me because I'm associated with investors. They say, well, I'm not going to get an investment, so I don't need a business plan, right? And I say, wrong. You know, that's
right.
Really the wrong reason to be doing a business plan, but it's certainly a reason if that's where you're going.
Well, every business has to have every business that grows. Well, if you don't grow, you don't survive, and so therefore you have to grow. And every business that grows has to fund that growth, and that growth funding has to come from some source, from internal profits, from investors, or from debt. As you know, Martin, most small businesses fund their significant growth through corporate, some kind of bank debt, typically. And your banker's going to want to see what you're up to, aren't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They all want to see the same thing, which is what is your product? But just as importantly, what's the opportunity that you're addressing? Who's your competition?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of projections do you have? All of those kind of things. There's no magic in this. It's very straightforward. And yet it seems strange to me that so many people struggle with this.
Well, I wrote an article not long ago. I say not long ago, probably a long time ago now, where I said, you say your business plan every day. And if you think about it, whenever you have a conversation with somebody about your business, they're asking you questions. If you answer those questions, you're basically saying your business plan, aren't you?
That's correct. And in fact, I actually start with a an elevator pitch, which is maybe a 30-second kind of thing, which I say you need to get all of the key elements of the whole plan into that 30 seconds if you're going to get somebody's attention.
That's the executive summary of the executive summary, isn't it?
That's right.
Well, you've got a list of 10 things here. Let's go down through a few of them. First up, and I think this is very important. Number one, you say, is define the problem. One of the things we've talked about over the years on this show is you can't have a solution looking for a problem. You got to find a problem and then create the solution, don't you?
That's right. And in fact, to me, this is one of the biggest mistakes, especially technical people make, is they come up with some new exciting technology and they try to develop it and they really haven't thought yet about what solution they can build with that technology. And I think certainly from an investor standpoint, that's one of the first red flags that people look for, to say,
right,
does this guy really understand the problem that he's solving? Because people pay for solutions, they don't pay for technology.
Right, and it's their first glimpse at what the business is all about, isn't it?
That's right. It's certainly very, very important kind of thing. It, you know, when I listen to people who are talking about their new idea, their new business, that's the first thing I listen for, is
yeah,
what is the problem that you're solving? And then get into the financial model, the business model, and say, can you make money doing that?
You know, it's just like when you watch a movie. Is this going to be a Western? Is it going to be a situation comedy, a romantic comedy, or a drama or a thriller? What's it going to be? Oh, you're going to make better shoestrings. Okay, tell me more.
Right. Right.
And then, so then when you tell them more, what's the next thing you tell them?
Well, I think that you need to talk about the opportunity. You really have to have a market. One of the common things that I'll get to it later, I guess, is that they say, well, I don't have any competition. And my reaction to that is, well, if there's no competition, there must not be a market.
Yeah, I was going to say, when someone says that, that's when you say, okay, this meeting's over.
Right. And I've worked with venture capitalists. I've worked with angel investors, and they read business plans like I do every day, and in fact, it's pretty common to say, okay, let me just start on page one, and as soon as I get to that first red flag like that one, then it goes into the waste can.
Oh, yeah.
So the trick is to make sure you get people and hold their attention all the way through.
Right, exactly. So, all right, what's next?
Well, I would say very, very important along the way, as I mentioned, is the business model. What is it, in fact, that you're going to do in terms of pricing? What is it that you're going to have for costs, and how do you make money at that? So
right,
you have to have a business model. People can go on and on about how great their product is, but if you charge $1 million for it, it may not be so attractive.
Let's land on this business model thing a lot, because I use that term quite a bit, and I've explained it before, but it's very important people understand that business model is a very handy term, isn't it? Because it really cuts to the chase on how you're going to take these new shoestrings you're going to make and you're going to sell, how you're actually going to convert that into something that sustains the business, makes a profit, and is the reason for being there.
Right. And this isn't black magic either. I mean, these
right,
are very obvious things, but in fact, it's something you definitely have to think about. And everyone seems to be, of course, in the mode of saying, I can build this product cheaper than anybody else.
Yeah.
But sometimes they don't really consider all the costs.
You got to be able to explain your business model, folks, in probably as part of your elevator speech. Hold on to that thought, Martin. We're going to take a quick break, folks. 20 after the hour. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
When you run a small business these days, peace of mind can be hard to come by. But thanks to my relationship with Administaff, I rest a lot easier. I'm Larry Nemeth, president of Logistics Management Group, a business freight transportation broker based in Atlanta. As a business owner, if I'm going to trust someone else to manage time-consuming things like benefits, HR liabilities, and regulatory issues, I need dedicated, full-service attention. And my employees need open communication and professional handling of their changing concerns in a changing marketplace. I've even left and tried other companies that claim they're as good or even better. But when it comes to providing peace of mind and actually contributing to my company's success, Administaff stands alone.
Logistics Management Group is just one of many recent Administaff success stories. Let's get started on yours. Call us at 877-273-6007 or download the top 10 HR strategies to lead the recovery at administaff.com.
Hey, Andy.
Hey.
How's the presentation coming along?
Oh, it's going to be great.
What was that?
Oh, I hired a wacky radio morning show sound effects guy to punch up the presentation a bit. It'll make us look better.
You think? You know, Andy.
Susan.
If you really wanted to impress everyone, you could have used FedEx Office Print Online.
Really? How is that better than gratuitous sound effects?
Well, with FedEx Office Print Online, you just upload the presentation and they'll print, assemble, and ship it. So it's there waiting for you. I use it all the time.
Hmm, that does sound impressive. But can we still do this?
No.
Okay, how about this? This?
I don't think so.
How about one of these?
No.
Well, maybe we don't need a wacky radio morning show sound effects guy.
Probably not, no.
We understand. You want to look professional. We'll print, bind, pack, and ship your presentations with FedEx Office Print Online.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. And you're going to be glad you're hanging out with me because we still got Martin Zwilling staying with us. We're talking about business planning. And if you want to find out more about business planning, folks, you can go to my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. We've got lots and lots of stuff there we've accumulated and acquired and posted for you over the years, things you can read, you can listen to, you can ask questions, lots of stuff there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to check out my blog, subscribe to my newsletter. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Martin, give us your website and tell us how we can find you.
Okay, you can find me on my website. It's www.startupprofessionals.com or my blog, which is blogstartupprofessionals.com.
Yeah, and you're also Startup Pro on Twitter, right?
That's right. I have quite a following on Twitter as Startup Pro. I'm also on LinkedIn as Martin Zwilling or on Facebook.
Right, right. So check him out, folks, there. And now that we've found Martin, we're not going to let him go. Martin, we're talking about business planning for the 21st century. Key things that you need to have when you're trying to run your business better, make your banker more comfortable, and or possibly attract investors. What's the next thing you need to focus on?
Well, one of the things I think we might have just mentioned is competition. And there, to me, this is one where you have the opportunity to really say clearly how you separate yourself from your competition. A lot of people shy away from this section thinking, well,
You got to have it because you can't assume that the people looking at it know your industry, know what's going on in the landscape. You've got to expose your exposure. And as you say, then explain how what you're going to do about it.
That's right. You know, what I look for is what I call a sustainable competitive advantage. What is it that you're doing that will keep you alive when all the big gorillas wake up or when everybody else sees what you're doing and says, wow, that's great.
And it's not just about lower price either, is it?
No.
If that's even in your description, you're probably not going to be – it's probably going to diminish your attractiveness, I would think.
That's correct, because it's not clear at this stage that you even know what your real costs are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Usually we look for something like a patent or trademarks, something that gives you some protection for the differential that you have, and then just plain something that's marketable that's different.
Right. Right. All right, what's next?
Well, certainly one of the most important things what I flip to first is the executive section or the team description. I'm looking for people that have been there and done that. I'm looking for people who have domain experience, which means you're an expert in that business area. Looking for people that have run business before.
And it's not just a capability standpoint. It's not just can these people do the job, but isn't the very first thought, can this leadership attract this kind of the right kind of people?
That's right.
Isn't that really the first part of this?
It is all about leadership, certainly. And I think one of the things I've learned over the years is that great leaders can take a really mediocre idea and make lots of money, make it really successful, as opposed to a poor leader can take a great idea and it'll fail.
What you just said has been a fact since humanity's, for the history of humanity. All the things you just said, a great plan with a bad team is not going to make it, but a good team with a mediocre plan will. All right, what's next?
Well, I think we finally get down to the financial projections. I actually expect people to project where they're going to be in terms of revenue, expenses, and profit for 5 years. And this is one that seems to stump a lot of people. They say, well, how can I project even next year until I get through, the next few months? I won't know what I can do. But the reality is you have to set yourself some objectives. You have to show some confidence. You have to be able to understand your marketplace and make some reasonable projections. Otherwise, you're never going to get there.
Well, exactly. This is hard for startups, though, isn't it?
I think it's hard, but it's certainly a necessary kind of thing. It shouldn't be that hard. You can go look at some other people. In fact, if you're talking to investors, there are some rules of thumb that say, hey, if you can't project a revenue growth up to $20 million within 5 years, then you're probably not in the scope of something that gives us a return.
Which is the exit strategy, which we're going to get to in a second. But this, staying on this projection thing for a second, one of the big problems with projections is most people don't know how to do them, and most people don't know people who can help them with it. CPAs won't help you with this. CPAs deal in history. They don't deal in futures. And don't put your budget. I don't know how many times I've had people come to me when I was in the consulting business, and they brought me their budget. That's not a projection, is it?
No, absolutely not. And certainly that's probably a conservative kind of thing. And maybe you want to be conservative, but sometimes there's room to be aggressive because you're trying to set the future here. And
right.
If you set it too low, you will achieve too low.
I had a banker tell me once, if you can only bring me one document, bring me your cash flow projection.
Cash flow is everything. And in fact, that's where you have to then calculate if you're looking to get an investor.
Right.
You have to figure out what it is that you're going to need by looking at the cash flow, see how far negative it goes.
And if you're looking for an investor, if you don't have an exit strategy, if you're just out there wandering around forever and ever, you're not going to get an investor, are you? They got to have an exit strategy.
They got to have an exit strategy, and people don't understand that the reason for that is that they want to get their money out. They're putting money in that may be there and unavailable to them for 5 years. They want to get a return. And if you say, hey, I'm going to ride this thing forever, it's going to be a family business, that sounds like I'm going to put this money in and I'll never see it again.
Exactly, because that's exactly right. So you got to have that, folks. Hey, Martin, good job today. Will you come back another day?
I'll definitely come back. Just let's stay in touch and we'll figure it out.
We've had a lot of fun. Thanks for being here.
Okay, everyone, I call this meeting because I want to introduce you to our newest employee. I call him Al. Voila!
Hello, I am Al.
Al is the world's most highly advanced supercomputer. He knows everything.
I know everything.
He's going to help us solve our international shipping problems.
I compute that you've been selling company secrets.
Huh?
You lied on your resume.
Well, just my age.
You're parked in a handicapped space today.
I stubbed my toe.
You've been sleeping in the office every night.
Stop that, Al!
Problems at home.
Phil, hand me that folding chair.
Yes, sir.
Al.
Ooh. Sir, why don't we just use FedEx Express for our international shipping needs?
Good thinking, Phil.
FedEx Express flies more cargo around the world than anyone else.
FedEx Express will take care of all our international shipping needs.
You've been stealing petty cash.
It's my company.
It's Daddy's company.
But he said I could... Daddy!
We understand. You want international shipping made easy. Reach customers in over 220 countries and territories with simple and helpful tools from FedEx.
They say the third time's a charm, and for my business, it's definitely true with Administaff. I'm Lynn Meyer, president of IntegriView in Austin, Texas, and I became an Administaff client for the third time in 2009. As an independent reviewer for clinical research, IntegriView knows that personal attention to detail is critical to success. So when other companies said they offered the same personalized service as Administaff, only cheaper, we got wooed away twice, and we came back twice. When we were working to revamp employee communications, only Administaff took the time to sit and talk with every single employee one by one. It made a huge difference in morale and productivity for our business, and now we're here to stay. IntegriView is just one of many recent Administaff success stories. Let's get started on yours. Call us at 877-273-6007 or download the top 10 HR strategies to lead the recovery at Administaff.com.
Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com, that's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, Mr. Kelleher. What are you doing here?
Well, we needed to save money, so we've closed the office.
We did?
And now we all work from home. Your home, actually.
That's kind of inconvenient for me, sir.
Now, it's very convenient for you. You see, you're so close to the office now.
Yeah, but...
Oh, that'll be the rest of the office. Listen up, people. Company meeting in Frank's bedroom in 5 minutes.
Don't go in there.
Who is that?
That would be my wife.
Well, I'm sorry. This is a private meeting. She's going to have to leave.
Well, you know, sir, there are better ways for us to save money.
Nope. We ran the numbers, and taking over your home was pretty much the only option.
Well, we could use FedEx Ground.
FedEx Ground?
FedEx Ground is a cost-effective way to ship ground packages, and they have the fastest ground service to the most U.S. businesses.
Great idea, Frank. With FedEx Ground, we could save both time and money. What do you say? Let's have a toaster pastry to celebrate.
Mr. Kelleher, that's my toaster pastry.
Doesn't have your name on it. Strawberry.
We understand. You want better ways to save. FedEx Ground. Fast, reliable, and for less than you think.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. But there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. And as always, we got our good friend Joel Barker back on the show. Joel is a futurist and someone that I was telling you about. And I was telling you about the things that I learned from him long before I ever met him and long before I ever had him on the show. He has been a member of our Brain Trust now for several years. We're very grateful for that. He's the author of 5 Regions of the Future. Also, Future Edge. He is the he's the producer of the film Innovation at the Verge, I think is the title of that. And he'll correct me, I'm sure, if I miss that. And let's get him in here. Joel Barker, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Good to have you back, as always. Did I say it right? Innovation at the Verge?
Innovation at the Verge is my newest video, which they can check into at www.starthrower.com.
Starthrower.com.
They're my video distribution company.
Yeah.
And what's been interesting is just to see the growing impact of that concept on some of my clients who are using it now and finding out that there are a whole bunch of easy to find innovations if you know how to look for them. So,
and that's one of the things you've been doing for the last several months is bringing us some of these innovations that you consider to be on the verge.
Yep.
And what's also interesting is some of the things you told us about are not actually, they're not on the verge anymore. They're actually happening right now.
Well, that's really, what's really interesting is, boy, some stuff has been moving fast into commercialization. So things that we talked about not even 12 months ago, you know, are starting to show up.
The pace of transfer is accelerating, isn't it?
Well, part of it is because they're using components that already exist. That's the Verge concept.
Off-the-shelf stuff.
Use off-the-shelf, but combine them in new ways. And when you do that, you can move much more quickly than you can if you have to start at the zero.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there that nothing is new of the components. Everything's off-the-shelf.
Yep.
But the way they put them together is a new resource.
Exactly. It's the combination that is the innovation.
And see, I call that niches of niches. this is what I'm trying to get small business owners to think more about is in America, especially, the way our marketplace stratifies so easily, you can make a living as a small business owner because you don't have to conquer the world. You can make a living in a niche of a niche of a niche.
Yes. And I think to just expand on that, because that's a very important thought, Jim, is that every time you create a new product, it has potential niches wrapped around it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it that way, again, it's from a small business owner. iPad just came out. Already there are several thousand applications.
Yep.
All those applications are your niches of niches.
Right.
And those applications will create that. So it's a kind of a fractal pattern. It gets more and more complex. Smaller and smaller, and the joke I always make about it is think about the fact that for 10 years we had women making a very good living painting fingernails of other women. That's a pretty small niche.
Yeah.
And yet lots of people made very good livings doing that.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And the thing about it is, Joe, I mentioned how stratified the U.S. economy, the U.S. marketplace gets, and how we seem to find a way of increasing that stratification, all those different layers of services and capability that's there. The world is moving in that direction, too, and 95% of all the customers on planet Earth are outside the United States.
Yeah. It's... I think we talked the numbers last time we were talking about what the developed country's population is going to look like in 50 years. You know, it's going to be less than 20% of the world's population. And it just tells you where the true base of the business is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Joe, one of the things that you mentioned that I know you've been following lately is an article on what part of our brain actually is really good at creativity.
Yeah, this is
slow thinking. Maybe may nurture creativity.
Yeah, this is. By the way, this is the outcome. Again, you see these things interacting as our technology for analyzing chemistry of the brain. You know, remotely. This is basically looking in from the outside, much like X-ray, but not X-ray technology.
Mm-hmm.
We can begin to watch the brain act and behave. And as it does it, we get these surprising discoveries. And the piece that I was sharing with you has been done at the University of New Mexico, a guy named Rex Jung, J-U-N-G. And he was trying to correlate creativity with action in the brain, behavior in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the old theory is it's all about your neurons, right?
It's the
neurons firing, and the faster your neurons firing, the smarter you are. And there's a lot of truth in that.
But you're thinking. But he's thinking maybe the slow parts is important. And I'm going to let you to dwell on that when we come back after these messages. Quick break, folks. Right back with Joel Barker. I'm Jim Blassing, Game 22.
All over this town, and I wouldn't be doggone. Hey, I've long gone.
When you run a small business these days, peace of mind can be hard to come by. But thanks to my relationship with Administaff, I rest a lot easier. I'm Larry Nemeth, president of Logistics Management Group, a business freight transportation broker based in Atlanta. As a business owner, if I'm going to trust someone else to manage time-consuming things like benefits, HR liabilities, and regulatory issues, I need dedicated, full-service attention. And my employees need open communication and professional handling of their changing concerns in a changing marketplace. I've even left and tried other companies that claim they're as good or even better. But when it comes to providing peace of mind and actually contributing to my company's success, Administaff stands alone.
Logistics Management Group is just one of many recent Administaff success stories. Let's get started on yours. Call us at 877-273-6007 or download the top 10 HR strategies to lead the recovery at administaff.com.
Hey, Richard, ready for the big presentation?
Yes, I am.
He's so ready. He's been on Lake Rossetti, and he's as ready will ever be.
I didn't know your middle name was Eddie. I couldn't help but notice you have a Broadway chorus with you.
Well, I wanted to make a big impression for the presentation.
Big, 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 big. He's making it big, incredibly big. Yeah.
Well, if you really wanted to impress, you could have gone to FedEx office. They'd help you print, copy, and finish your presentation.
FedEx office. Is there one nearby?
Is it far?
Really far? Can we get there by car?
We could get lost.
Or bitten by frost.
Or maybe eaten by a jaguar.
Roar.
That's not annoying at all. Actually, there are nearly 1,700 FedEx office locations. I use the one around the corner.
Hey, isn't there one around the corner?
Yes, I just said they
help. You really should have known about FedEx office. Not a lot of words right with FedEx office.
We understand. You want support close by. FedEx office has nearly 1,700 convenient locations.
Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's BPLANS.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you. Welcome back to 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. That's my website, too, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for using it to your advantage. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And if you're on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame, if you'd like to follow me there. Joe Barker is our guest, our good friend, a longtime Brain Trust member, the author of Five Regions of the Future. His new film is called Innovation at the Verge. Innovation at the Verge. And Joel, as we went to the break, you were telling us about this new research that shows that it's not just the neurons, the electric part of the brain that's important and creative and part of creativity, and it's also the white matter insulation, that there's stuff going on in there somewhere.
Well, it turned out, and this is, I think, again, this shows how little we know about ourselves. But the myelin, which is the insulation that goes around the neurons,
right?
If it is not as thick as, quotes, normal, you know, it doesn't look as good as it should, it turns out people who have that thinner myelin also tend to be substantially more creative.
Wow.
So there now is a new understanding of both leaky insulation, which allows divergent thinking and different things to mix together, and really good insulation, which makes you very IQ smart, but not necessarily creative smart.
Mm-hmm.
And so what it shows us two things. Number one, we still don't know that much about ourselves. We've got a lot to learn.
Right.
And number two, how our technology is allowing us to ask questions about ourselves that we never could ask before.
But why is this important to know? I mean, I know whether I'm creative or not. You know whether you're an engineer or not. I mean, why is that important to know?
Well, think about this. Before we made this kind of observation, we assume people with that thinner myelin had a problem.
Ah.
Now we say, oh, guess what? Maybe it's a problem, but maybe it's not. Maybe
right.
There's a balance between these two things. Maybe we need to understand a little bit more clearly the relationship between what we thought was pretty black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's not so black and white. And that's, you know, I have a rule. I call it Barker's rule, which is everything is always more complex than you think it is. And this is a good example of that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so what do you think we'll do with this information?
Well, I think, first of all, we start understanding how the brain works better. Second, there is also a relationship, and that's the old relationship. The thinner myelin was thought to be about mental illness. and problems of the brain. Now we know that that's only part of the story.
Right.
And by the way, we have seen stories about people who have had mental illness problems and been massively creative.
Great artists, great writers. Well, of course, we have the savants.
Yeah, you hit it. By the way, that is one of the examples of saying maybe we're not understanding clearly yet. So a lot of things that we have just labeled as a illness or a problem may get re-understood now, and perhaps from that we'll be able to, in fact, be
What's amazing, effective. You and I were talking about children and grandchildren off the air, to see two grandsons, two brothers. One of them is, you know, just naturally this logical, button-down personality.
Yeah.
And the other one is this creativity thing, what could we build here? What could this look like, you know? It's so interesting to see how two siblings can be so divergent.
Yep, and this could very well explain it.
Yeah. Very interesting. All right, what's next?
Well, the next thing for me, we always, we get around to energy just about every other time, and the latest thing on energy that really intrigues me is, we've talked about the algae energy thing, and that there's
right.
huge potential there. Well, classic research...
Remind the audience how the algae works.
Well, algae is, you can get algae that's 50% lipid fat. And so what you do is you grow the algae, you squeeze it, you squeeze the fat out, you turn it into biodiesel or take
right.
it on up to the
right.
other stuff.
Algae becomes a fuel. The byproduct of the algae becomes a fuel.
That's right. And if you grow it near a power plant, it'll suck up huge amounts of carbon dioxide as part of the process. So it's really
a cleansing tool as well as a fuel producer.
Exactly. Carbon neutral in that sense.
All right.
Right?
So now there's another angle, though.
Yeah. Well, we've all heard about E. coli.
Uh-huh.
Bacteria that causes lots of our own problems.
Right.
People get sick on it.
Right.
It turns out that a group of researchers have taken E. coli, modified it so that it excretes biodiesel.
What?
It excretes biodiesel. If you have a vat of this stuff growing...
Carbon petroleum?
It floats to the top, and you skim the biodiesel off. You don't even have to... Isn't that incredible? So here we go. I mean, this is another pathway to energy independence. The other thing that's neat about E. coli, by the way, is it grows three times faster than yeast. It grows 100 times faster than most of the other agricultural
right.
microbes that they've worked with. So
but see,
it's extremely prolific.
But see, Joel, this is what I'm talking about. What you're revealing to us is exactly what I'm talking about when I'm trying to tell President Obama, we've got this capability in America to discover these things and to leverage them. Focus on the potential for innovation, not on the opportunity to tax and to penalize.
Right. Or, by the way, to support just the old way of doing things.
Yeah.
I mean, you could make an argument. I wouldn't make this argument, but you could make an argument that we should not be drilling off the East Coast because it's going to make us, it will allow us to delay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually think it's a smart thing.
I think it's not either or, it's both and.
Yeah, exactly.
And because it's a transition. We need to be in a transition process.
Yes.
And we are in a transition process, but I think it could be done a lot more productively and less punitively. And
right.
that's all the politics I'm going to give you today. Stand by. We'll take a quick break. Right back with Joel Barker. More to come, folks. We always get smarter when Joel joins us. Stay with us.
Hey, Andy.
Hey.
How's the presentation coming along?
Oh, it's going to be great.
What was that?
Oh, I hired a wacky radio morning show sound effects guy to punch up the presentation a bit. It'll make us look better.
You think? You know, Andy.
Susan.
If you really wanted to impress everyone, you could have used FedEx Office Print Online.
Really? How is that better than gratuitous sound effects?
Well, with FedEx Office Print Online, you just upload the presentation and they'll print, assemble, and ship it. So it's there waiting for you. I use it all the time.
Hmm, that does sound impressive. But can we still do this?
No.
Okay, how about this?
Uh-uh.
This?
I don't think so.
How about one of these?
No.
Well, maybe we don't need a wacky radio morning show sound effects guy.
Probably not, no.
We understand. You want to look professional. We'll print, bind, pack, and ship your presentations with FedEx Office Print Online.
Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
They say the third time's a charm, and for my business, it's definitely true with Administaff. I'm Lynn Meyer, president of IntegriView in Austin, Texas, and I became an Administaff client for the third time in 2009. As an independent reviewer for clinical research, IntegriView knows that personal attention to detail is critical to success. So when other companies said they offered the same personalized service as Administaff, only cheaper, we got wooed away twice, and we came back twice. When we were working to revamp employee communications, only Administaff took the time to sit and talk with every single employee one by one. It made a huge difference in morale and productivity for our business, and now we're here to stay.
IntegriView is just one of many recent Administaff success stories. Let's get started on yours. Call us at 877-273-6007 or download the top 10 HR strategies to lead the recovery at administaff.com.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. Joel Barker is our guest, our good friend. The author of Five Regions of the Future. His new film is Innovation at the Verge. It's outstanding. And Joel, that's starthrower.com. That's where you can find that. Yep. Your books are available wherever books are sold. Your blog is, and all that information is at joelbarker.com.
Yep. They can check into my Good News blog just by going there.
And let me give you a little tip, folks. I'm going to give you, this is a little present that I'm going to, that please do what I'm going to say. Go somewhere and find Joel's, Paradigm book.
It's still in print.
I know.
Yep.
Wherever it may be, pick it up at the used bookstore, go to the library, buy a new one. What's the paperback is The Business of Paradigms?
Yes.
Yep. Folks, that's the one I have. And you, I'm telling you, it's 20 years old, it's still valid. It's amazing.
It's at almost 30 now.
It'll change your life, folks. Yep. The Business Paradigm. Go get that one. Do yourself a favor. Buy two. You're going to want to give one away. Joel, what's that? What's next?
Actually, I was going to talk about the lab that fits in your hand. We talked about that once before, and all I wanted to do is to acknowledge that it is now being commercialized.
This is one of those transfer things we're talking about.
And that what it does, it allows incredibly sophisticated testing in third world countries at very low prices. But it also is going to have a huge impact on healthcare in America.
A medical lab that fits in your hand. It's like this this cornucopia of tests that you that's in one little box.
Yep. And so it is happening. You know, it's coming to the marketplace, and it will change.
What do you do? Take a little blood, drop it in there, and it gives you all these answers?
That's exactly right. And so remote testing in the doctor's room. Test that you get the answer.
What about EMTs out in the street?
Oh, isn't that an interesting idea? if you trust them to stick a needle in you,
well,
get
they
blood.
Do. I mean, they do that. I mean, they have the ability to do that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Why not? Why not at the drugstore?
Take a little blood, drop it in there, and beam that back to the hospital.
Yep.
And you find out. Oh, wait! Don't give them that. That person's diabetic.
Absolutely.
Or whatever.
It's when you start having this kind of access to that kind of information, so right now you can make a good decision. Think of the impact on
healthcare. Isn't this kind of innovation at the verge, as you say, Joel.
Yep.
Isn't this kind of innovation going to change the way we think about hospitals and getting treatment in the future?
Sure, absolutely.
And I mean, isn't this kind of thing going to render?
Will it end up in your house? That's the real question.
Yeah. Well, and of course it will.
Yeah.
Of course it will. And it'll get to the point where you know you can check a lot of things about yourself and these are all good things. And this is another thing that I hope, Joel, can become healthcare dividends in the future.
Like trade
is a peace dividend.
Yep.
These kinds of things could be deficit dividends, maybe, or something like that.
Well, they certainly can change the value proposition of healthcare.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. What else?
One last thing, I guess, and that is this is one of these Verge stories that just cracks you up. We have had a problem with our insects, cockroaches, you know, developing resistance to all the chemicals we
have. Right.
Well, there's a new way to kill them, and it's so simple you cannot believe
Joel,
it.
Joel, cockroaches have been around for billions of years. How are you going to kill cockroaches?
This is what's interesting, and just listen to how simple this is. It turns out if you take a cockroach and heat it above 56 degrees centigrade, okay, which is about 115 degrees,
right,
15 degrees, it kills it.
Well, if you do me that way, I'll die too.
Yes, but think about this. What this company is doing is heating up your house. To 125 degrees. End result, every bug in your house, including bed bugs and cockroaches and centipedes, they all have this specific protein.
How do you do that, though, without, some things, I guess maybe nothing would ignite at that temperature, but how do you do that?
Yeah, well, they have a heater. They basically box, you know, close
put
the
a
house
heater.
In, run the heat in, heat the house for 24 hours. But think of how simple
Take the pets out, though, folks.
Yeah, take the pets out. But think about how simple that is. How broadly you could, I mean, that's solar temperature.
Yep.
You take a hut in the third world and cover it in black plastic for 24 hours, it'll hit those temperatures.
That's funny.
And it's taking heat.
Talk about low tech innovations.
Yes, isn't that wonderful?
we've had that technology for what? 10,000 years, 100,000 years?
At least.
Hey, Joel, give us the website one more time, please.
Website, joelbarker.com.
Check it out, folks, and also starthrower.com. Joel, again, thanks again, as always, for your wisdom. Joel Barker, ladies and gentlemen, what world would we do without him? Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, and I want to remind you, folks, there are people sending a post around the world on behalf of you and me right now. God bless them. God be with them. We're proud of them.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.